All right, so we're back, the Dr. Moo and the Blue Box fan club, or whatever we're called. And we are talking about Series 6 of Doctor Who, and we just finished talking about A Good Man Goes to War, which was the series finale of, or the mid-series finale cliffhanger thing. I'm really glad they're not doing those anymore, according to Stephen Moffat. That's really good.
Yes.
I'm glad they decided they weren't as cost-effective as they thought.
This year, though, it's going to be very strange when they have... They start the season mm-hmm. in the fall, and then they're going to have the Christmas one, which would probably end up basically about where this cliffhanger did.
Right.
So...
So they'll have, like, 13 episodes, and then the special, and then... Then when are they going to show...
They talked about an... I don't know if they're going to have an Easter episode this year
or
not.
Are they going to do 7 episodes? I see. I was not thinking clearly. 7 episodes, Christmas special, and then spring.
And then 6 episodes in
the
spring.
So it's going to be like an American season, which is really weird.
Yes.
I think that's weird. Apparently that's the way it used to be or something. And, you know, I didn't know this, but I noticed this in England. They had added the little circle part. There's like a little circle... St. John's Ambulance. That hadn't been on the TARDIS for a while.
Yeah.
The new series, and they added it back.
Yes.
For Matt Smith's reign as the Doctor.
Moffat wanted that.
Doctor? Yeah, Moffat wanted it. And that was from which Doctor? Which Doctor? Gosh. Which Doctor Who?
I think it was the second Doctor.
The second Doctor. That goes way, way back.
Yeah, that's Patrick Troughton. And Matt Smith reminds me a lot of him and the way he acted and this sort of eccentric mannerisms remind me a lot of Troughton.
I don't know much of the Troughton. We were watching, there was like a Cincinnati Doctor Who group for a while.
Nobody knows much of Troughton. He's
a lot of Troughton's was taped over.
They found a missing one or something, I think.
They found...
Was it him or the one?
It was, they found two recently, I think. One was from Troughton. It was, It isn't like the whole show.
Right.
It's just one or two episodes.
Oh, right. Because they would do like
four episodes to a story.
Yeah. Which was kind of a neat way of telling the stories. Like the four episodes.
They were like half hour episodes.
Yeah. And then they would sometimes catch you up. Because I just watched this really weird one with number four where he was fighting pirates, but they weren't really pirates. Kind of, but it was...
Was it the Pirate Planet?
Yeah, and it was just so goofy.
Douglas Adams.
And
that's Douglas Adams.
Yes, because it was I looked it up, and it was Douglas Adams, but he had like a secret name that he wrote under when he wrote for Doctor Who.
But he was also the script, wasn't he the script editor
he might
then
have been,
too?
But
later.
Only,
later.
In fact, he was working on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy while doing
it. Okay. The wardrobe just was hilarious.
Mr. Finkley.
And that one had canine in it. And he just went, I kept wanting, like, Tom Baker to just kick the shit out of that damn dog. I was like, oh my
David
God.
Agnew was his pseudonym.
Yes, David Agnew. That was Douglas Adams. I looked that up.
Not
on
surprisingly
for it
being that.
Surprisingly. So we're going to talk about when the series came back from its mid-season thing. And it came back August 27th, 2011 with Let's Get As Many Viewers As Possible titled Let's Kill Hitler. Because one of the things that's...
Because it worked so well with the Doctor's wife.
Right. But one of the things about the Doctor is like... And I think Rose even asked him this. Well, you know, if you're going to help people and you want to help people on planet Earth... Why can't we go kill Hitler? I don't think that she flat out... I'm not sure that she flat out said that, but I think she said, like, why can't we... There's other places where you can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Hitler's, like, one of those things you don't touch. He's a fixed point in time.
Right.
You know, it's that timey-wimey fixed point in time gobbledygook. And so, you know.
And, well, there's also an episode we were talking about earlier stuff. There was a Tom Baker episode where he gets the opportunity where he could have wiped out
the Daleks
at the beginning of their creation. He could have just wiped them out of existence, and there never would have been any Daleks, and wouldn't the world be a better place? And he said, do I have the right to do that?
Because a lot of species have banded together and
peace
of the main alliances with the Daleks. Over the
there
years.
Are good things that came out of this horrible situation, too. People banded together. Planets became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And all this happened because of the Daleks.
And it's
so
like,
Hitler maybe had to be.
The same thing. Except we still wound up with George Bush. Too soon?
Too soon. A lot of tech came out of that. A lot of your innovations and stuff not only come from, like in this book I've been reading about, The Age of Wonder, I think, where they talk about, creativity and coming up with these, brilliant ideas. It has these chapters on Joseph Banks and William Herschel and just the time period they were living in when they were coming up with all these really amazing ideas. Then you have a lot of wars and things going on like that, and you have all these people just rushing to, get this technology that can be better than the other side.
You wouldn't have
the
cell phone now if it hadn't been for Hedy Lamarr.
For Hedy Lamarr, exactly.
Well, she invented a way for them to send signals.
Oh yeah.
So that couldn't be intercepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, NPR did a story on it, and they talked about it on Science Friday, months after Bust Magazine did a story on it, which was they had a science issue where they talked about it, and that's where I learned about it, was from Bust Magazine.
I heard it several years ago, I'd heard about it.
Right. I think there's been several books about it. And then when a new book came out this past year, they did a big thing on NPR about it. And
you wouldn't have cell phones now. You probably wouldn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
All that came from, with our technology today, we're saving so many people that in the past would have died in war. But then you're bringing home a lot of people who are seriously... their lives are compromised now because head injuries, we can save their lives, but we can't give them back the quality of life that they had before, which is, kind of bad too.
So let's
get back to Doctor Who.
Right, so the TARDIS crashes in 1838 Berlin, where...
1938.
I'm sorry, 1938?
Yeah.
That's really sad because I'm reading it right off the screen and I said
it wrong. 18...
New numbers. 1938 Berlin.
See, that had to have been with the time.
Had I been thinking it, I would have said it right. But because I was reading it, I said it wrong. That's awesome.
That's a timey-wimey.
Read.
There you go. You were the pilot of the time ship because these people were so stupid. Oh. We're going to kill Hitler at the end of his reign, and they didn't realize, we're going to kill him in his office. But there's a severe lack of Bunker and Eva Braun in this scene.
Yeah.
I mean, how the hell do you get
Why
that
Why would you
wrong?
Kill him at the end of his reign anyway? I mean,
what was
because
that?
They wanted
what,
to punish
wait, what was,
him.
What was that in?
He was going to die anyway. This was this episode. The time ship, they were going back and
torturing the people that could take
on.
So they could still do all the bad stuff they were supposed to do if they were fixed point
they did
time,
that really neat pixelated.
But you could still torture them.
Special effect.
Right, but in 18 again. Good grief. In 1938, was that too soon to try to kill him? Or too
because
late?
He still
too,
hasn't
too
done
late, too
well,
late
because
to
it was a fixed was point in time, they couldn't now. Kill him that early. But they could kill him right at the end of his...
Oh, I guess.
And these
you,
people,
you.
For some reason, never made that connection. I mean, there should have been more Soviets running around in the streets, for God's sakes. You think they would notice that?
So
they have the ability to go. They have the ability to go back in time and torture people in history, but they don't have the ability to go back in time and actually study history
and find out
how the hell it's supposed to go.
Well, right. This is one of my problems with when the
George Bush theory. Okay. Yeah,
because Doctor Who is on the BBC and because it's like a public broadcasting, they have to include educational stuff. We're in 1938 Berlin, and here's Hitler. Hitler.
Springtime for Hitler.
Germany.
And once again, Rory is fantastic. Everybody, come on, Rory.
Rory is wonderful. I think most of the girls in my group all want their own Rory at this point. in my friend group.
Maybe we could clone him.
The best opportunity, though. They got to punch Hitler and lock him in the closet.
That was
Hitler's in the closet.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
With Tom Cruise. But... They should have gone back in the TARDIS, grabbed Rose's old, Union Jack shirt, and dressed Hitler in that, just for the laugh. But
yes.
I guess that would have broken up the series. Because...
I personally would have stripped him nude and written soy bomb on his chest. I maybe would have put woman's underpants on him, those pink frilly ones.
But then they would have had to have gotten Goering in there, so...
And a girdle.
And stolen his, yes.
Put Hitler with a nice Shatner-esque girdle. It's not a girdle. A glister. show. They don't kill Hitler.
No, they just punch him.
Of course
him.
They don't kill Hitler. They just punch him and lock him in the closet. But here's where we find out that whoosh, whoosh, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. The plot device of Melody Pond. They got to grow up with their daughter all along. Only it's kind of
crazy. It's something that they had never ever mentioned before that they had a friend.
Yes, right. She was messing with
Tom. Because you know what? Because she had been there all along.
But just recently, of course. Timey wimey.
But that was the fun part. You always complain about the fact that she was insinuated some lines, but isn't that the exact thing that River Song would do?
Yeah.
That level of arrogant, I'm going to do it because it'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I'm going to hang out with mom and dad.
But
And as she said, you know, they kind of tortured her, and she grew up to be raised as psychotic.
That's because it was the English school system. I'm sorry.
Eye patch lady was mean. So they don't kill Hitler. We find out about River Song, and she actually regenerates and becomes... Oh, well, there's a point where she uses up all her regenerations. She does that later, though.
Right.
Right? She does that during the... Later.
In the doctor's little...
Right. We will talk... Oh, yeah. Crisis. Right. We'll talk about that. But we see her regenerate... I think at the end of A Good Man Goes to War, we see her as a child regenerating, and then I think we do. Or she's healing?
That was back at the Day of the Moon, Day where she's hanging out, and somehow she's a little girl hanging out with hobos in New York.
Right.
Regenerates, scares all the
Which
hobos
away, and
then
lines but, up. Oh, was that way earlier?
Yeah.
That's way earlier.
Yeah, that was at the end of that one. But you wonder how... Did she get to England? But then maybe she
swam,
grew up in New York, and then
because there's a
went
time
to
difference
England,
too.
And then regenerated into a child again.
She couldn't have been there from that. This was supposed to be.
I think she did say at some point that she regenerated into a child again or something.
She would have had to, so that she could grow up as Melody.
Or somebody mentioned that she would have had to have regenerated.
They list her regenerations somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. The internet is awesome for nerd facts or nerd air quote facts or air quote nerd facts. So, you know, everyone's all cool with this is River Song, and she tries to kill the doctor, but she's not going. But then we see the little, what are they called? Yeah. The guys that, what are they called?
The Tesseract?
The Tesseract. That's when we get the Tesseract and go, oh, plot device. Where's this going to fit in later?
Yes, because you see right away that the Tesseract can turn into other people. So now you're thinking, now we have two possibilities.
Right.
Or three possibilities.
Right.
That was our doctor that was killed. That was a flesh doctor that was killed. Or that was a Tesseract doctor that was killed.
So it's probably going to be one of those. And he likes
to collect little possibilities and juggle them around.
Because sometimes you need a red herring, and you need your Scooby-Doo ending.
He's got red herrings, yellow herrings, blue hair.
He's got them all over there.
He's got rainbow herrings. No, I'm sorry,
that was Russell T. Nice. So this takes us to Night Terrors, which is written by Mark Gatiss. And I like the actor in Night Terrors. He was in Outcasts, which was this kind of interesting sci-fi show that took place on a colony in the future, of course. It was pretty cool, except for the first episode had Jamie Bamber from Battlestar Galactica. And then I'll just go ahead and spoil on this because no one's ever going to watch Outcast because it sucked. Towards the end, it really sucked. But they kill Jamie Bamber's character in the first episode, and then you don't really care what's going to happen. But I watched the rest just because it was like 7 episodes. But anyway, her mom has left to go take the dog out. So Ryan and I will talk a little bit about Night Terrors because mom didn't really like Night Terrors anyway.
Why this one? I hated this episode.
8-year-old George is so terrified he can't sleep. His parents are unable to help, and the doctor answers George's plea. So this is a really, obviously, kind of a kid's episode, I felt, because you have an 8-year-old boy who's scared of everything and dreads the cupboard, and then you have, these weird peg dolls that I thought were really cool. They had the peg dolls at the Doctor Who Experience, and they were really neat. I took a bunch of pictures of them. And I like the peg dolls. I guess I like the peg dolls because I'm a big fan of dolls and marionettes and puppets and stuff, and I think they're cool. And then,
well, he was able to find something that would scare even an adult, which did make the 8-year-old
really
coward a little better.
Kind of interesting to see this contrast. Okay, you have the doctor and this kid who is afraid of everything, who just seems to be absolutely terrified. And the doctor comes to help this kid. And then you go and you think, well, wait a minute. This is interesting, Doctor Who, because you sure didn't do anything about River Song as a little girl being terrified and trapped all by herself with Eye Patch Lady. Yet you're going to help this George
kid. Just call
kid.
Her Patches. She's better than
Patches. Patches McGee. We'll call her. Okay.
Now, I don't know. This is one of those episodes where you get the impression that the episode was a little weak, and mm-hmm. they just had this ending they wanted, which is that the dad stands up and has this, I do believe in fairies, by standing up for his kid. Like,
yeah.
I love you, son. And that was the what Mark Addis was trying to lead up to, and kind of a little weakly and a little wobbly. Not so much timey-wimey, though.
Right, and
that was just my impression of this. I don't know, it just kind of left it a little weak.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I know, I went straight to the ending because I had nothing good to say about the except for when the garbage
no, the
swallowed
good.
The crazy old lady, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, can I say something? No,
about
I'm
night
back.
About
yay.
Night terrors?
Night terrors.
My mom's back from taking the dog out. That's the needy little
dog.
Okay, I noticed, you noticed this one and the closing time one, where he's got the theme of fathers.
Right.
Saying that fathers can
right.
be can be loving and they can be supportive and
that.
They you know it's he really puts an emphasis on a father
the father
figure
yeah.
and yeah
because
so wait
it's
a minute.
Interesting
so
cause
we
then
start with,
and father nurturing
wait a minute so
because
we start
Wikipedia
with
it talks about parents but there's only the dad that
you only see the dad
I was going to say wait a minute we're creeping up on this aren't we first we have the dad who loves his kid
mm-hmm.
but he has a wife and then we have the
Craig and Stormageddon.
And the doctor and were implied to have a special relationship. Everyone thought they did. So then this is they're slowly creeping towards having the two daddy episode, which I guess is gonna come the next season.
Probably.
There
right.
you go.
And
yes.
then, you know,
then the cycle will be
I always, oh yeah, that's the actor's name. Daniel Mays is the actor
yes.
who played. I love him. He was an outcast and he was the best part of that entire series after
yeah.
they killed off Jimmy Bamber in the first episode, like morons. But he probably had better things to do, like
that's when I quit
reason.
Watching it, and they kept up. I said, "I'm not going to watch it now." He was the only reason I was watching it.
Exactly. So yeah, and then after Night Terrors, we have the episode that makes me cry. We have The Girl Who Waited, where I love this episode. This was written by Tom McRae, and you have them show up at the. I've watched this like 8 times, so I know about this one. They go to Apalapachia.
Appalachia.
That's how the episode begins.
The Appalachian Mountains.
Appalachia. How do you say it? Appalachia. It which seemed like it was just a take of the actors having fun saying this ridiculous word.
That kind of goes back to Russell T. Davies, who always came up with these crazy things
Rexicorocophalovictorious. Oh, yeah. And then they do a play on that, because, like, some, like, distant relative of that alien comes along, and his name is, like, Chum or something ridiculous
yes,
like
Clom.
That. Clom, yeah, I knew you would know.
I'm Clom.
Oh, no, that's because it's like, a distant cousin. That's the horrible episode,
yes.
Love and Monsters. I hate that episode.
Scooby-Doo episode.
Oh, my God, the children, the basically a child wrote. Well,
which
the child
is,
came up with
yes,
the
Russell T. Davies shows the only thing a woman is good for, which is just being ahead with the
oh my God, I know. That was so
is
disturbing.
That
oh my God.
Oh, it was so wrong.
Wrong.
That was his idea about romance. You don't have to write romance between a man
all you
woman.
Need is a hole in the dirt.
Oh,
good God, Russell T. Davies, really. But she was a glorified glory hole. Come on, guys.
Oh, God.
Yes, I said this in front
this
of my
mother. This is deteriorating rapidly.
So the girl, that's because I don't want to talk about the girl who waited because it makes me cry. So basically they show up at the Two Streams facility and there's a red elevator and a green elevator and Amy gets on the red one and Doctor and Rory get on the green one. So they get separated because the red one is moving at a faster time, I think. or a slower time or something, something. Than the other one. And so you,
because it was a temporal disease.
Right. So because there's a disease that humans can't get, but two-hearted creatures like the doctor can, but he's not going to get.
Yeah, that
like
did said, make that a lot of me. Sense.
But, another, yeah,
but that was just a fine, that was just a plot device to keep the doctor not from being able to.
And so it has a lot of really cool visual effects, like the mirror that they can see her in.
Yes.
And then he can focus in on her signature by taking the mirror into the TARDIS, and they latch onto her, and they go to save her. And it's been 30 years.
Marcus, this is why I hate this.
And once again, Rory.
And Rory is amazing. And Rory is so good. Like Arthur, I'm going to miss Arthur Darville more than anything once Rory and Amy
I can't
are
call him Arthur Darville. He's Rory. He's always going to be Rory.
Rory.
He should change his name to just Rory. No last name, just Rory.
I think he should change his name to Roricus. The Roman.
Yes.
Roricus.
Roricus.
And show... So
yeah, but that's the thing that they said that they're going to. I mean, this is, I guess, a spoiler for the next season where they said that there's going to be a sad ending for Amy.
Right, it's going to be heartbreaking. You know,
they've killed Rory how many times? So killing him again isn't really going to have much of an impact, even if they save for reals this time.
Yes,
but anything they do to Amy is going to seem probably weak compared to this. I guess. I don't know.
So
because they've already.
I just don't want them to.
They already had a nicely sad episode with her.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. This is another like choice episode with Rory and Amy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have
Sophie's choice.
Where yes, you have Rory was Amy's choice that episode.
Right.
Where she had to choose which one was the real, and then you have this one is essentially Rory's choice. You know, he wants to bring them both, and the doctor so blatantly lies in this one that and one of the things that I've seen him do is he either flat out lies or he says nothing at all and makes you come to your own conclusion and hopefully and then when what's going to happen isn't what you hope would happen, then you know they get mad at the doctor, but of course it had to be that way all along because they trust the doctor.
Although I will say kudos for this episode, the one thing I thought what they were going to do is what were the odds that Samurai Amy wasn't going to show up again? I figured she would show up and the season finale cutting a Dalek in half.
Yeah.
Because even Fan though wank. She was... Well, yeah. Like I said, even though she's technically, you know, temporarily out of sync, she's in a facility of a two-hearted race of beings who manipulate time.
And I love the
and I said that...
The robots.
Yeah.
This is a kindness.
I liked
this
her.
Is a kindness. That was such a good play on language.
I liked her Rory, too.
Actually, what was it my theory?
Oh, her Rory.
Her Rory.
Yeah, she's like, come on, Rory. And it's the robot. And he's like, wait, what? I thought you would have named, what, the doctor?
That was actually my theory. For
of course
this
I named the robot Rory.
For this entire episode, that my theory was going to be that when the, she said that the, you know, their science was going to be wrong. They don't know that you're human. And yet it's a futuristic... I mean, obviously these beings are advanced enough to manipulate time. They know about other species.
Their medical center.
Why is their medical center not able to recognize that she's human? So what that's going to happen is she finds out that when they give her a kindness, it was actually a booster shot of vitamin D sunlight.
Really.
And she's like, this entire time you made me think it was going to kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been like, you know, 50 years running from these damn things, and they were just going to give me a booster shot and a lollipop.
It's like you can't say to them... Do a scan of me. I don't have two hearts.
And then she's so furious and she hates the doctor. It was interesting because in Neil Gaiman's episode when Rory has like the guy's playing with time, he's like captured the TARDIS and he's playing with time, mm-hmm. Rory grows to hate Amy and he's like kill her everywhere, and that's exactly what. You know, what she does. She hates the doctor and wishes that she could kill him, and she doesn't want to die, even though she knows that she could go back, but that means she would never exist. And so it's just like, it's really interesting because for me, the thing that always makes, that I find like upsetting, but like good upsetting, is that when it's about change, when things change in your life, you have to figure out how to accept them, and you think, you know, if I go and do this, this is what my life's going to be like. If I go and do this, this is what my life's going to be like. But there's a point where you get to make that choice. You're not stuck in that decision, but maybe
like
you are stuck in that
it's
decision.
It's like Donna's
it's
turn
like
left.
It's like Donna's turn left. It's very much like Donna's turn left.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is reminding me. He has to have something against the medical profession at this point, because I remember the pirate episode with the black spot where someone gets a splinter and it's like, I'm going to put you into stasis for, you know, 50 years while I figure out how to deal with this.
Yeah.
It's like he had water in his lungs, and they kept drowning every time they took him out of the field. Like, all you have to do is remove the water from its lungs. You're a super sophisticated sci-fi medical program. How dense are you? Do we need to download
this
new preferences?
One was, these were stupid, too.
So, yeah, like I said, these things can't recognize that she's...
Right.
That's why I said this entire episode would be hilarious if the doctor was wrong.
Yeah.
She's been running from them, terrified of
these creatures.
Oh, but
the doctor's never wrong. He's the most clever creature ever.
Oh,
are
yes.
you paying attention to him? He's so clever. So that really, I
Their
think...
Their kindness will kill you. That was his own line.
And then, and this also, I felt like with Rory in this, and you could just see in Rory, and after, you know, he's basically got his hand on the TARDIS, and that's the last thing he sees of, you know, alternate reality Amy, basically, you know, old Amy. And he's still completely, you know, in love with her because that's still his Amy, some version
yes.
of her. And he sees what she looks like when she grows old, even if it's without him. Well, she kind of had him because she had the robot. But he's done. He's done traveling with the doctor. He does not want to do it anymore. And
yeah.
this was, for me, as a viewer, this was my first hint that, oh, they're starting to write Rory and Amy out of this series. And that's kind of interesting because I'm like, you know, they've been through a lot, and he's done.
Well,
I mean, they
Rory's
had that with Mickey.
Was never really keen on it.
Right.
He just went along because of Amy.
Because Amy was there, and he's like, you can just see him be like, I'm done. How do I convince her that we're done? We need to get on with our lives because this is it for us. And really, I think later on, you in the next episode, especially, you start to see some more of that. You start to see where they're gonna. Diverge paths and you can really
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was really well done, actually. Did like kind of like gently written so that the viewer can kind of
yeah.
get used to the idea of, oh, we're not going to have Rory and Amy all along. And they just came out with I think
well,
when
the doctor was starting to see it too, that
right.
that he was taking them into too many
right.
serious situations, and one of them was going to get eventually was going to get killed,
right?
And there would be no way that he could...
He doesn't want another Adric.
Yeah.
That's pulling from, like... I don't remember which doctor that, but I remember Adric.
Yeah.
I remember Adric dying. I remember that.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go... especially if he's got... This is the first time he's had a married couple in there.
Right.
And they've already lost their child,
mm-hmm.
which is his fault.
Right.
And he doesn't want them to lose each other.
Because that would be his fault, too.
That would be his fault.
So he knows that he needs to put the
he
has to put the brakes on this.
Yeah.
So we will, we're almost done. We will be back to talk about the last three episodes in the series and maybe speculate a little bit on what's going to happen in the next series. All right.